you're going on vacation, you are a missionary. That kind of throws a different light on things, doesn't it? I like that. That's really good, Raj. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Well, today we get to honor another of our seniors, our graduates this year. So I'd like to invite Sarah Grushewski and her parents to come up. Mom and Dad get to come too. Yeah. Yep. She graduated from Garfield Heights High School, and when she was asked her plan, she said, not sure, and I said, I totally respect that. Totally respect that. So she's going to take a gap year to figure out what she wants to do or possibly go to Tri-C while she's deciding, but take the time you need. Most people don't know at your age what they're going to do. I'm just saying. And if they think they do, they're usually wrong. So, you know, relax and enjoy the ride a little bit. But we're proud of you, very, very proud of you. I ask all our graduates to answer a question. And basically the question is, how do you want to make a difference in the world? And Sarah had the hardest time answering that, didn't you? But I know why now, because once she answered it, it was amazing. So I'm just going to read what she wrote, because she said she'd rather me read it than her, which is fine. She said this, one of the ways I would like to make a change in the world is a problem I feel has always been a problem, that there isn't enough positivity. You could do something so amazing and someone will still be behind you saying, what if, or wasn't that good enough? That wasn't good enough. I'm tired of hearing the doubt in people's voices or people hurting themselves or others because they feel they aren't good enough. Everyone needs to love everyone, or at least act like they care, because someone always needs a friend. Let love be love. Let race be race. Don't judge someone just because it's not something you would do. I wish we could join as one. No jealousy of who has the best shoes or clothes or what they look like or where they come from or what their choices are. We are all on this earth because of God. He rules. So he rules all. So don't act like you do, because at the end of the day, you have absolutely no idea what someone is going through. I love that compassion that I hear in your heart, Sarah. And I've always seen that in you since you were little. Another one I would like to cover is violence, unnecessary violence. I'm not one to say to ban all guns, because my dad has told me that guns aren't what kill people. The people behind the gun does, which I believe 100%. So with that being said, I think we need to be even more careful with who we trust with a gun. I had a friend get murdered along with his sister for trying to help his mom from her boyfriend. That wouldn't have happened if people were more careful with who they sold or gave a gun to, or more aware of the violence that happens around us. He was 17 years old at the time, and his sister was 19. Kids, teens, even adults dying almost every day because of gun violence. Something needs to change. Now, I'm just an 18-year-old girl living life, but I would love to live life without looking back every second. Thank you. God bless. Yeah. That's really good, isn't it? That's good. That's good stuff. And Sarah, I want to tell you, as I was praying about honoring you today, I heard this phrase in my mind, you're worth more than gold. And I don't have a good memory, but I really don't. So when I do remember something, it's because God put it in my head. And I had this memory of you standing on this stage singing that song, you're worth more than gold. And I just, I felt like God wanted to remind you, Sarah, that you are worth more than gold. You're very, very, very valuable to him, to your mom and dad, to me, to this whole body of believers. You're worth more than gold. And don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. And it's not based on what you do or don't do. It's based on you're God's daughter, and he loves you. And he is very glad he thought you up, because you are a great idea. You're a great idea. And I just love your heart of compassion that showed through in what you wrote. And so I'm glad he thought you up too. You're a great idea, and I know that you're going to answer some of the world's problems that you feel. You're going to be an answer. Whether you're famous or not famous, you're still going to be an answer to problems in the world. And so I am grateful for that. Aren't you? I'm grateful for her. Yeah. I'm such a baby. I cry all the time. So reach your hands towards Sarah. I just want to pray a blessing over her today. Can I put my hand on your head? Okay. I just want to ask. She's a girl, you know, like it's a thing. Right. God, I thank you so much for Sarah. I thank you for the compassionate heart she has and for the accepting love that you have put in her heart that she can accept all kinds of people. She doesn't see people based on what they have or even what their actions are. She sees people as you see them. And God, I just treasure that in her. And I thank you that you created her to be worth more than gold. That she is very, very valuable to you, to her parents, to all of us. And she's valuable to the world. We need her message that you've put inside of her. We need her heart that you've put inside of her. And so I thank you for that and I honor her. And I just pray that as she takes these next steps that you will show her every step of the way. I thank you for your word that says as she leans on your ways, not on her own understanding, but on your ways, that you will show her the path that she is to take every step of the way. And that you will have just surround her with your peace and your glory as she takes those steps, that she will shine brighter than gold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't go anywhere. I have a little gift for you. So we're proud of you. Congratulations. Love your nail polish. Check out those nails. Are those cute? Okay. So, great job. Thanks. Okay. I just love doing that, honoring grads. I think it's so fun. It's a great opportunity. So today we're going to continue our message series on shine. And if you were here a few weeks ago, we had a poll. Remember the telephone poll that we had? We have another one today, just because we can and because it's fun. So if you already registered last time, you don't have to re-register. But if you didn't, you can register. It tells you how right there, text Oak River C3742, that number 22333. And then you choose. The question is, from these four choices, which is talked about most in the Gospels? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which of those subjects is talked about most often in the Gospels? Obedience, joy, hell, or peace? Okay, one person has their vote in, and it looks like a bunch, but it's one. You can see the number on the right. So vote. Your name doesn't show up, which is fun, so you won't be embarrassed if you're wrong. So put your answer in there. Obedience, joy, hell, or peace. Okay, obedience has one. Ah, here we go. Okay. Coming along. It's a race. Reminds me of the little turtles. You know. What do you think? What's talked about the most? Now we know love is, that's why I didn't put it up there. Love is the most talked about. So that's a given, right? That's what's talked about most. Obedience has three so far. Joy has four and peace has one. Obedience just took over. Joy. We'll let it go for a second here. This is fun. I like hearing what you think. Okay. Peace is talked about. There we go. Nobody thinks hell is talked about? Okay. You do. You don't have your phone. Okay. 5, 4, 3. Here we go. Got to be quick with those thumbs, people. All the kids have already voted, right? All the under 25s, they voted like first. The rest of us, including me, my kids makes fun of me because I don't use my thumbs to text. I still use my index finger. I know it's embarrassing, but it is what it is. My thumbs don't work as well as my index finger. Okay, obedience, 5. Joy, somebody backed off obedience. Joy, 4. Peace, 4. Somebody changed their mind. I don't know how that works, but okay. Ah, there it is. Did we only allow 6 per? Oh, no. Okay. 25 total is all we're allowed right now. So we have 14 so far. Math is hard, but I can do a little bit. What's that? Adults are getting help from kids. Thank you, kids, for your grace. Just remember, some of them changed your diapers, so. All right, we're going to close it out in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so, okay. You tried 3 times to vote for D. I think it only allows 1 vote per person, though. Is that right? I think it's 1 vote. One vote per person. Okay. Well, there's 7 for obedience now. And joy and peace are tied at 4, and no one said hell except Roseanne, who doesn't have her phone. Okay. Well, here are the answers. I just love this. So what's in last place? Obedience. Obedience is in last place. Mm-hmm. Third place, hell. It is talked about 11 times. Might be a little more, a little less, depending on your translation, but I checked a very modern translation, and then I also checked the New American Standard Bible, so I kind of did a balance of those two. What's talked about second place? Look at that. Somebody got joy through. Second place is peace. Can you believe it? I was surprised by that. I thought peace would be more. Joy is talked about more than anything else up there. Wow. Who said joy? Raise your hand proudly. Yes. Because today we're talking about shine. Shine joy. Okay, just for an interesting little side note that's not part of our survey. So love is talked about more than all of those combined. But you know what's talked about right behind, well, not right behind, but more than joy, but less than love? Mm-mm. Money. Oh, no. She said the M word in church. Money is talked about more than joy even. So if I talk about money, stay comfortable. Because Jesus did, okay? Just saying. We're not going to talk about that today, though. Relax. Deep breath in, deep breath out. We're talking about joy today. Shine joy, shine joy. After all, in Corinthians, it says that joy is 1/3 of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What if we would shine 1/3 of the kingdom of God today with joy? Obviously, righteousness and peace are good to shine too, but today we're talking about joy. Joy. What does joy mean? Joy means delight, gladness, to be well, to thrive. How many of you wake up in the morning and you think, wow, I'm so happy to thrive today? Or do you think, yes, I believe you do, Stephanie. I do believe it. I believe you do. And it shines through. It does. I call her the sparkle girl because she sparkles. She likes sparkles, but she also sparkles herself, right? She thrives. That's what joy is supposed to look like, thriving. Now, some mornings, I will admit, just like you, because I get up super early. I get up at 4. Some mornings, I'm like, oh, did the alarm really just go off? Like, I thought it was the middle of the night, you know? But I try to thrive. Well, it is 4 o'clock, Natalie says. But it also means, joy also means excessive rejoicing. I really like that definition. Excessive. Because most of us, when we think of the word excessive, we think it's a negative connotation, right? Oh, that's just excessive. She's just too much. She's just a little too extra, you know? That's what we think of. Well, joy is the one place, well, one of them places, you're allowed to be excessive. Keep sparkling, Stephanie. Keep sparkling. Point number one, I have five today, so settle in. It's going to be a good day. Point number one, joy comes from knowing I belong to God's kingdom. Now, God gave me that this verse I'm about to share and that point on Monday. And then I got a cool story to tell you after I read the scripture. In Luke 10:20, Jesus is talking. I'm still reading the red. Jesus is talking, and he said, however, your real source of joy, this is right after the disciples have come back from ministry, and they've been rocking it, you know, they've been healing people and setting people free from demons, and like they've been rocking it. And they're so excited to come back and tell them all the stuff, and they're just filled with joy. And he says, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority, that you belong. So I got that point and verse on Monday. On Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember which day. See, I told you my memory's bad. One of those days, I heard a message by Stephen Furtick that was so powerful. And I put one of his quotes from that message on Facebook and Instagram this week. If you follow me, you know that. The quote was this: true confidence, listen to this, true confidence is not a byproduct of achievement, but of belonging. Most of us believe that confidence comes when we do enough good stuff. And he shared a very vulnerable story of how his ministry kind of mushroomed into success overnight. And he found himself being asked to speak on the stage with T.D. Jakes. And he's like, huh, how did I get here? Young guy. Elevation Worship is his church. If you are familiar with that at all, we do some of their stuff here. Did we do one today? No, we do some of their stuff here, I know. But his ministry just took off, and he was like very intimidated by it. And he kept hearing this voice in his head, like, if they really knew you and how ill-equipped you are for ministry, you wouldn't have their respect. You wouldn't be asked to share a stage with T.D. Jakes, right? And he said he had to really settle. And then he was watching TV, or his wife was watching TV in the other room one day, and he hears his name on TV, Stephen Furtick, and he's like, what? And he kind of goes from the other room, and he's like, they're talking about me? Like, he had a mixture of, like, whoa, this is amazing, to whoa, this is scary. So he thought, what are they going to say? And there are these two, there was this interviewer and this preacher, well-known pastor, sitting there talking, and the interviewer says, so what do you think about Stephen Furtick? And the pastor did this. Oh. And then he said, looked up and he said, unqualified. And Stephen said he was like, it was like a dagger in his heart. Oh, they found me out. I'm unqualified. And right away, he wanted to get angry, you know, obviously, and resentful and defend himself. But he felt like the Lord said, go with it. Just go with it. You are unqualified. And as long as you remember you're unqualified, you will do great exploits in me because you know it's me and not you. And he had to figure out, I belong here. And it's interesting that I heard that whole story because last week I told you I was at that conference in Pennsylvania where I was asked to speak to a group of pastors' wives. We had a fabulous time together. I could feel your prayers. But the pastor's wife sessions were like breakout sessions. And during all the other sessions, I found myself in large rooms with 350 people, most of whom didn't believe in women pastors, of which I was the only one there. You hear me? like I stood out like a sore thumb. Even the pastors and their wives, some of them were there, but mostly it was a sea of men. I love men. I celebrate them. But these men didn't think, I'm qualified. I heard over my heart, unqualified. Unqualified. So when I heard Stephen Furtick talking about it, I'm like, hey, I'm in good company. That's pretty awesome, you know? But Stephen said, if you can get your confidence from knowing you belong here in the kingdom of God and whatever he's called you to do, you don't have to work so hard to try to achieve stuff. Right? So just for fun, if your phone's still out, go on Facebook, check in to Oak River Church, and type the words, I belong here. I belong here. It's powerful when you write. I wrote that out on paper after I heard it, and then I typed it in the comments under my Facebook post. I belong here. I belong in the kingdom of God. I belong doing what I'm doing. I belong here. Joy comes from that place. Joy, excessive rejoicing, because you're not trying to prove anything to anybody then. You don't have anything to prove. You just know you belong. You can function in the joy of that. You see? Point number two, joy comes from knowing how loved I am. Joy comes from knowing how loved I am. When you start questioning if you're loved or not, you cannot have joy. There's no way. I don't think the two are compatible at all. I've used this verse probably a lot since January, but I keep coming back to it. I keep feeling like the Lord pulls me back to this verse over and over again. And John 15:11 says, I love, again, Jesus talking, the red. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you're tired of me talking about God's love, I do not apologize. Because I feel like I'm on this journey to continually let his love nourish my heart. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live, nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Huh. Just imagine what that would look like if you lived your life with overflowing gladness. What would your job look like? What would your home look like? What would your visit to Walmart when you have to stand, when they have 75 cash registers and 2 cashiers? I don't understand it. And my natural tendency is to be like, you gotta be kidding me. But what if I overflowed with gladness in that moment? What would it look like? What would it look like if you overflowed with gladness when you played your sport at school, youth? What would it look like? Point number three, joy comes during the harvest. I really like this passage. I'll tell you why in a moment. John 4:35-37 in the Passion Translation says, as the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, again, Jesus' words, why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming now. Is the harvest time. I'm going to pause there and say, I believe more than I've ever believed in my life. Now is the harvest time. I believe our world is in such a state that if we shine just a little bit, if we have a 25 watt bulb going on, it's going to be like, whoa, in the world. Right? I don't condemn the world for being dark and filled with negative stuff. I'm like, that is a chance for us to shine. That is a beautiful opportunity to shine. For their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain ready for a spiritual harvest. And everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. And those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the harvest will celebrate together with great joy. I love that the people who sweated out putting the seed in the ground get to celebrate with the people who are pulling the produce out of the fields. I love that. You know, I love that Rhonda loves to garden. I know many of you do. I love that she does. I also love it when she brings me strawberries from her garden. But I didn't have to do any of the work, you know? Like, I didn't have to prepare the soil. I didn't have to plant the seeds. I didn't have to tend the garden. I didn't even have to pull the fruit. She just blesses me with stuff. Tomatoes. Oh, her tomatoes are so good. Right? But here we have people who are planting, getting together with people who are harvesting, different groups, and they're having a big party. And it's spiritual souls. It's spiritual seeds. Can you imagine the excessive joy that's going to take place with that? Oh, I love that. Some of us, we despise the fact that we were called to plant and that we don't see a lot of the fruit of our reward. But we get to celebrate with those who do, you see. We don't have to despise them for being the reapers. We can get to celebrate with them that we work together in partnership with His kingdom. That's such a beautiful thing. Point number four, joy comes after suffering. What? What did she just say? Joy comes after suffering, but there's a kind of a contingency on it. When new life is present, when new life is present, joy comes after suffering. Thank you to all of you who supported Colin's fundraiser last night. It was a beautiful outpouring of love. I just loved it from the church, combined with Twinsburg schools, combined with the communities. Like, it was beautiful because it wasn't like us and them. It was just all of us together loving on Colin and his family. It was really powerful. But when new life is present, joy comes after suffering. It comes. In John 16, 20 through 24, it says, "Let me make it quite clear," talking to his disciples about the crucifixion, "you will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me. The unbelieving world will be happy while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn to joy when you see me again. So as deep as your well of sadness is, I am so convinced your well of joy becomes exactly that deep, if not deeper." Think about that. Because it says your sadness will be turned to joy. Your grief will be turned to joy. How can grief turn to joy unless the same amount of grief you had doesn't become joy? It's the same. That is so powerful. And it's something to hold on to in the rough moments. It's something to grasp onto. Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby, yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets what she went through because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world. So will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I'm taken from you. But you will see me again. And then your hearts will burst with joy, with no one being able to take it from you. Ah, you're going to have a joy so deep and so rich and so powerful, no one will have the capacity to pull it out away from you. Whew. For here is eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask Him for anything you desire, and He will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. That's excessive. Your joy will have no limits. Oh my goodness. Huh, that just gets me so excited. What would it look like if we had excessive joy? Well, that church is on Prozac. They're just too happy. It might look like that. That's okay. I don't care. You see, when I was at that conference and I knew I had people who didn't believe I should be there, I had to come to a place in here where I was like, God has called me to this. If you have a problem with it, take it up with him. It's simple, really. It's simple. Unless I care more about what they think than what God thinks. And then it's complicated. And my joy, whew, flies away. My joy came back. I came back intact with my joy. Maybe more than ever. Because I had these awesome opportunities to steal away and read from a book I read long ago, Hinds Feet on High Places. Highly recommend that book. Highly. Hinds Feet on High Places. It's been around for a long time. It's worth rereading and rereading, because I read it the first time in college when it was a requirement, and I hadn't tasted enough life. This time I read it, and I was like, oh, I see myself here. I see myself here. I see myself there. Filled with joy. Point number five. Joy comes when the lost is found. The first instance of this, Jesus tells three stories in a row about lost things that are found. First of all, he starts with a lamb. And before we read it, understand that a lamb was a highly valued animal in that culture, because if they could find one that was out without blemish, they could be used as a sacrifice. If not, they were still highly valued, highly valued. So this was a big deal. There once was a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out in the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he finally found it. With exuberant joy, excessive rejoicing, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with cheerful delight. Returning home, he called all of his friends and neighbors together and said, "Let's have a party." What? There's parties in the Bible? Yes. But you can remember the next day what you did at this party, so it's even better. What a concept. Let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. It wandered away, but I found it and brought it home. You know what I love about this passage so much? But one of the things I love is it doesn't say if the lamb was a perfect lamb or a blemished lamb. He still went after it. Listen, you might feel the word unqualified on your forehead for Jesus to come chasing you down. No such thing. Doesn't matter what you've done. He will chase you down with his love and mercy. His goodness and kindness will follow you all the days of your life. His goodness and kindness will follow you all the days of your life. There's no caveats on that. There's no conditions on that. You see, I think he has so much, he has enough to go around. So he can waste some of it on you. Even if you think you're unqualified, you're not. He will chase you down. The second thing that he talks about, I just love that he talks about a lost coin. Because here's the money. There you go, money. I love that Jesus used something so common and practical that even that, if it's lost, it means something when it's found. It means something. Luke 15:9 says, when she finally found it, the lady who lost her coin, she gathered up all of her friends and neighbors for a celebration, telling them, come and celebrate with me. I had lost my precious silver coin, but now I found it. If you've lost anything, I have prayed to find toys for my kids when they were little. I seriously have. I have prayed for the most ridiculous things to be found. If I can't find it, for me, it's not about the thing. It's about I need to find it. Does that make sense to anybody? It's like a riddle that needs to be solved. And it drives me crazy. Like I could go buy a new whatever it was that was lost, but I just need to find it. So I'll be like, God, I know you know where it is. Can you just show me where it is, please? He usually does. Crazy enough, he does. He cares about everything. This lady was like, let's have a party. I found my coin. Wonder how much she spent on the party. Maybe the whole coin. I don't know. But she was so excited to find it that she wanted to have a celebration. We need to look for more reasons to have parties. I'm just saying, I think we do. The sun's out. Let's have a party. Point C, the last lost thing that is found is the sun. Most of you know this story. Many of you do. Turning to his servants, it's the prodigal son story. Although Richard Exley, our overseer, says, I don't like calling it the story of the prodigal son. I like calling it the story of the waiting father. Because really the hero of the story is the father, not the son, right? But the son goes to his dad and says, hey, dad, I don't want to wait until you die for my inheritance. Could you just give it to me now? Because I want to go party. That's the summation. My dad, if he were still alive, he would be like, I don't think so, girl. And you just lost your inheritance totally. Not that I'm going to have a big one, but I'm just saying. Like, that wouldn't have flown with my dad. This dad said, okay. He went and wasted it all on riotous living. He squandered it on all the wrong things. He had all the wrong kinds of parties. But then he came to himself, it says. He came to himself when he was trying to, when he was jealous of what the pigs were eating. He came to himself and he went back home. And the father says from a long distance away, oh, I love that part so much. The father saw him coming. He's like, whoa, is that my son? And he ran out to meet him. He ran out to meet him. It was very undignified for a man to run in those days. So this was a big deal. He probably had to tuck his robe up into his belt to be able to run. It wasn't glamorous. Turning to his servants, the father said, quick! Bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate, for this beloved son of mine was once dead. Not this scoundrel, not this person who wasted my inheritance on stupid stuff. No, my beloved son is home. He was dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. I really felt so strongly as I prayed this morning in final preparation for this message that there are people in this room that one of these points would be highlighted, one of the 5 points. One of those 5 points would really be highlighted to you, and you would say to yourself, wow, I am missing an opportunity for joy because of that point, whatever it is. Maybe you didn't see that joy was that important to begin with. It's 1/3 of the kingdom of God. It's important. It's important. And so I just want you to figure out which one is speaking to you right now. Which one pulls at your heart? And then bow your head. God, I thank you that you want us to be joyful. That you know we're at our best when we're filled with your joy. And so whatever you're trying to speak to us about, whichever of those points you want to realign so that we can have more joy, we just surrender ourselves to your craft. And we say, do what you want to do so we can live a joy-filled life. Do what you want to do so we can wake up with excessive joy. Not just laughter, although that's good, but joy deep down inside that can't be taken away, that can't be moved by circumstances. Excessive rejoicing. And we just cooperate with you, God. We just cooperate with what you want to do. We say yes. We say, here's our password into our hearts. Do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. I hope you can feel his presence here so strong. I definitely do. So I just encourage you to cooperate with him, what he wants to do. He knows what's best. He's the one who designed you. So he knows what will bring you the most excessive joy. And so just cooperate with him.